This is the Mickey Miles and More podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome back, Milers. This is your show for all things Disney. I'm your host, Chris Eliopoulos. Mike and Michelle have the night off. We let them take some time off once in a while. And so tonight, joining me is my good friend from MEI and Mouse Fan Travel, Becky Menken. Hi, Becky.
Hi. Again, I'm making a habit of this, but I don't have a witty saying from something for you to guess at because I never get them anyway. So
I know. I don't get them from Mike either. So, you know, Michelle always seems to get them, though. She always gets them.
I sit there and I'm always going, what? Where is that possibly from? And you would think I would know these things, but I just don't. It's embarrassing.
I know. So what we're going to do today is basically just have a little fun. We're going to talk just how we got into falling in love with Disney. Because I think, Becky, you've been on a lot of shows. Like, you go on Lou's show and you've done a bunch of other shows. And we talk about the current events and we talk about, you know, plans for Disney. But I wanted to see, so what initially got you interested in the Disney parks? Like, we all started somewhere.
Yeah.
So what made you fall in love with the parks? Before you became a travel agent, before that became your thing, when did you fall in love with Disney and why?
Well, interesting. This is such a long story and I'll try to keep it brief.
We got time. It's just me and you, sister.
Okay. It's kind of funny because I fell in love with Disney at the very beginning with the world of Disney, this show, the television show that started up. And my dad kind of parked me in front of that on Sunday nights. And I remember watching it and thinking that's what a grandfather should be like. And because I really didn't know my grandparents, unfortunately. So that was kind of like one of those things where I kind of connected to this man. And it was my seventh birthday that my dad gave me a trip to Disneyland for my birthday. I didn't really know what to expect. You know, theme park fun. I was a seven-year-old kid, right? It's like, what if dad's taking me? It must be fun. But he did something really cool. He gave me the record albums and, you know, albums for those of you who, you know, aren't old enough to remember what they were. There's these little discs with a hole in the middle that you put on a record player.
Burnt pizzas with a hole in the middle.
Yeah. I hear vinyl's coming back though. So it's a good thing.
Yeah.
But they had these record albums that were based on the attractions. So there was one that was Haunted Mansion and there was one that was the Country Bears and Small World. And he gave, the visit with Mr. Lincoln was on there too. Mm. And he gave me those before we went and he wanted me to learn them and get used to the rides that we were going to see, especially the Haunted Mansion. I think he was afraid that I was going to be afraid of the Haunted Mansion. He gave me those and I learned the entire script from beginning to end because it wasn't just an album. It was a storybook too. So you could see the different scenes as it was going along. And I see them every once in a while up on eBay or that, you know, somebody kind of brings them out on Facebook. It's like, oh my gosh, I had those. So he took me for my seventh birthday and we stayed in this little motel that had a shuttle bus that had an alien face on the front of it. I remember that so distinctly. But when we walked into those gates, my daddy became my best pal and my buddy. And we shared this, this magical world that, that was to this day, those memories are stuck in my head. So when I walk into the gates of Disney, I think of my father. So that was the first line in the sand that I crossed that I said, okay, now I kind of like this Disney thing. I didn't go back to Disneyland until my 21st birthday. So it was all the way between 7 and 21.
So only that one visit, that was it?
Only that one visit.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. It just sunk into my head and I just remembered how happy I was and being able to do things with my father. So it was almost the opposite side of where, you know, Walt Disney did this for his daughters. I always saw that as being the time that I really connected with my father and the things that we did and when he tried to convince me that I didn't want to go on the Matterhorn because there was a big, huge monster in there, because basically he didn't want to go on the Matterhorn.
Oh, the secret comes out.
Until we rode the Skyliner through the Matterhorn and I looked down and realized it was just tracks. And so he had, it backfired totally on him and he had to take me on the Matterhorn. But when I left there, I just had those loving family memories and went back when I was 21. As a matter of fact, we got off the road. I drove there. I slept in my car in the parking lot.
Get out.
And woke up in the morning and went to the gates of Disneyland for my 21st birthday. So,
oh, that's so cool.
That's where it all started. And luckily, I mean, fast forward till now, my now husband was trying to woo me, not with, you know, expensive dinners or, you know, chocolates or diamonds. Right. I got a stuffed Tigger, which was my introduction that he loved Disney too. So,
oh, okay.
That's where
you were kindred spirits. You knew it at that moment that there was a commonality between the two of you, right?
Pretty much. And then it was, you know, full force from there going forward. But let me turn that on you. What was your first memory or the thing that got you connected?
So it's weird. It's funny. Most of my life as an adult is based on the things I loved as a child. The things that you fall in love passionately with as a child stick with you, right? Like, I mean, everybody loves those candy cigarettes because you had them as a kid, right? Even as an adult, you just want that. Like, it reminds me, and I'm sure most people, of that time, right? Of that childhood when everything was innocent and carefree, and things were great. For me, it was on my 9th year on this planet, I got to see Star Wars, and I fell in love with that world, right? When I was a bit younger, I started reading Peanuts comic strips, and I remember just sitting and reading them and falling in love and tracing them. And so, you know, it sort of shows, right? As an adult now, I'm into Star Wars. I'm a cartoonist whose stuff looks very much like Peanuts. My father worked for American Airlines, of all things. And when you, at that time, I don't know what it's like anymore. I'm sure it's the same thing, but he worked in data processing. So he wasn't even like a pilot or something cool like that. You know, he just number crunched. You could get free airfare anywhere. You'd have to go on a standby list. So basically you would go to the airport hoping to get on a plane. If the plane wasn't full, you could get on and fly. And in our case, we'd always have to dress up because we were representing the company. So I'd always have to go in like a little kid suit on an airplane. I always thought that that's the way you had to travel. And what would happen, whatever seats were available, even if they were in first class, you would get them. So there was a lot of times as a child.
Nice perk.
Yeah, we would fly first class. I met of all things. I mean, not that it's a great thing, but I met like Woody Allen. Like,
what?
The stewardesses gave us like the tray. We delivered him a drink. I met what's her name? Who's the mom from Lassie and from Lost in Space? June Lockhart.
Yes.
So it was funny. She was doing a game show in New York. She was flying back. They put her in coach. We were in first class. I had to go back and I introduced myself because I loved Lost in Space. So I drew a picture of the robot and I brought it to her and she was really sweet. And then when we got off the flight, we had to go to get our luggage and she was there and she actually held my hand and we walked together to the gate, to the carousel. But what's interesting is years later, I was at a comic book convention. She was there and I went up and I gave her a copy of one of my books and told her this story. I told her, you're not going to remember this, but it meant so much to me. And she was just in tears and it was great. But so every year here in New Jersey, we have what's called Jersey Week. I'm sure you know Jersey Week. The teachers take off to go to a workshop or whatever and say they take off a couple of days off. And everybody in New Jersey flies down to Disney World. Like, it's like the thing to do. Since we could go anywhere for free, and my aunt lived in Marina Del Rey in California, we would fly out, we would stay with her for free, and then we'd go to Disneyland. So we were always going to Disneyland. So we would go at least once a year for good God, maybe 10 years at least. Like
to Disneyland? For some reason, I thought you were Disney World. Okay, that's...
We did go to Disney World starting when it opened. Like in 71, you know, we did go and visit. And I think we were 71. It was fairly close to the opening. We were there maybe 72. But ours was Disneyland. We would fly out to Disneyland. You got to remember, it was Magic Kingdom only at that point. We went back the year that Epcot opened. But we were there so early at Disneyland. Were you there when they still had the ticket packs?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So it was kind of like an experience different from today. You know, you had to really make those hard choices. What was that e-ticket going to be? You know, because right. My parents, you know, again, we, you know, didn't have a lot of money. You know, you have to make those hard choices. So we would go every year. And so for me, like, I mean, we still have pictures from all of that. To me, that's my childhood, is Disneyland of all things. And then like you, I had not gone since I was probably like 21, like you. We flew down to Disney World. We had a ball with my parents and my sister, and her boyfriend actually came with us that time. And so I didn't go for a while. And then when I got married, I think it was a year after we got married. I wanted to go back down. I wanted to take my wife down there. She had no clue what it was all about. So we went, and we went for rope drop. So they shepherd you out into the center of the park. Of all places to go, I took her to It's a Small World first, which nobody does. Like, why would you get there early to go to Small World? But I knew I wanted to give her what this was about. And so we went on the ride, we got off, and she goes, I get it. It rekindled that Disney love, and it brought me back to my childhood. And we started bringing our kids at the age of 4. We started going every year, and you know this, we went like 3 times a year, and we've been going crazy ever since. So it's a part of my childhood, a part of my adulthood, and now my kids have now followed suit. You know, now as they're older, I'm like, let's go somewhere else. And they're like, nope, Disney World it is. So we've transferred the bug to them. So,
well, good job, because you're raising them right when that happens.
Yeah, right. They do love going. Like they were technically, as we are recording this, this would have been the first day of our summer Disney trip. We were going to be there for 2 weeks. You know, and they're a bit disappointed, but you know, it's going to make next trip that much better. Right. I mean, we're going to take the most out of this one, the next one. So tell me what for you brought you back. What made you think, well, now I just have to be a travel agent? Like, was there something that did that? Like, did you just say, I enjoyed the magic, so I'm going to now make sure everybody else has it? Or are you just like, hey, this is a good way to make money?
Well, no, it's kind of interesting how that came around, because I didn't go to Disney World until 1996. So it was really late. And it was because my now husband, who was my friend at the time and a coworker, we made a bet. And he basically said, because I'd never been there, I wanted to go. I remember way back when it first opened in the 70s, seeing an old magazine with information about Disney World opening and the things that were going to be part of it. I'm like always looking at that as a kid going, I really want to go here someday. My family travels were pretty much on the West Coast. We didn't do anything on the East Coast at that point. So it was always a dream. So fast forward, my husband, not quite that, we were friends at the time. He bet me, because I smoked at the time. I know, bad me. And he said, you quit smoking for 6 months and I will take you to Disney World. I'm like, dude, you're on. Wow. I will.
Is that all it took?
Absolutely. And I want to stay at the Grand Floridian, and I want the you know, full meal deal, and I want the biggest package, and because it was a bet, right? Between friends.
Sure. Got to take it all.
exactly. In that 6 month time period, I ended up quitting smoking, and we started dating in that time too. Aww. So I won.
Both ways.
He won too. And
winning.
And he said, but we're staying where I want to stay. And I said, okay, fine. So we ended up staying at the Boardwalk Inn. Hmm. And when we were there, we'd been dating just about 3 months, got there, fell in love with the place. We both looked at each other and said, we'll be coming back here more and more. Hmm. So later on, we were both working for a software company here. And we decided to get married, and we got married and we honeymooned there. So 97, I was back. And that's when I learned that the celebration cycle for Disney is an 18 month one, because I got the pink castle when I got there, and I got the pink castle the following year. The pink castle was there.
And you still went back. That's amazing. Still,
yeah. So we're still working for the software company at that time. And I was kind of getting bored with my job. Yeah. And I wanted something of a challenge, and I wanted to do something. And Chris looked at me and he said, what do you love? What are you passionate about? What do you want to do? And I said, well, I kind of like to travel. And I always kind of thought that I might be good at helping people find vacations and fun. And he said, well, what is it that we do most? I said, I love Disney, and I think I could probably help people make, you know, magical vacations and putting this together. And he looked at me and said, all right, let's do it. So he decided that he built me a website. I partnered with an agency. I was an independent contractor at the time, and just kind of went from there. And it was never really about the money. It was about connecting to that thing that I love and helping other people connect to it, which I think was what's so cool about the Disney brand, because there's not a lot of brands. I think Apple is the only other brand that I can think of that people will go and stand in line for, or that people connect because of the product.
Right.
And I'm sure that you and a bunch of our listeners have people who are, I'll always kind of say that they've got family members that look at them kind of cross-eyed when they say, you're going to Disney again?
But yes.
Many but I get it. And I think that those of us who have that, and we have that passion for this thing, because I don't know, is it that it makes me feel like I'm 8 years old with a platinum Visa card? Sure.
True.
But there's something about it that allows you, gives you license to be a kid and to enjoy your friends and to experience these things that you can't find anywhere else. And so, rather than it just be something that I did for a while and got tired of, every year I want to be more immersed in it. And I get a Disney Visa card, and I, you know, glom onto any membership I can and get as involved in the makings and the behind the scenes stuff as I possibly can, because I love it that much.
Yeah. No, it's weird how the two of us fell in love with the Disney brand and the park stuff. And then it turns into things we did as adults. Like, you know, obviously I did the book, but I did, I have a friend of mine who he used to work in comic books. He works in Disney now, and he does a lot of drawing for them. I'm not sure. I don't think he's in Imagineering, but he does work for them. And he contacted me at one point. They were doing these posters. What was the attraction across from Sum of All Thrills? It was Habit Heroes. Remember that one? It was sort of like eating properly and getting exercise, and there was this whole kind of thing in there.
Over in the pavilion,
right? I'm forgetting every name. I'm so bad at, like, my mind.
We're getting old.
I know. I was gonna say as soon as I hit like 50, everything just fell out of my brain. But he called me up and said, we're going to do some poster designs and I need some typography. And so I did some work for Imagineering. So I had some of my work appearing in the parks, which is absolutely...
That's cool.
Yeah. Like, to be able to walk in and see your work in a Disney park is like surreal. Because, right, you grow up on it. Like, you know, doing the Disney book was amazing because we had such a, you know, we connected to the Disney corporate people, and we dealt with, you know, the archives, which is amazing. But like to actually see it in the parks, like the place you go to, is pretty like special. So it's no longer there. So I'm really bummed. I'm hoping that I'll get a call at some point in the future. And I was hoping they would just sell the books there, but they I guess they don't. I don't know why not. But
yeah,
I would have thought it would be
a perfect match.
Thought it'd be great, but I don't want to take too long because I love these stories. But so I was thinking while we are away from the parks and we're unable to go, there's a few things I wanted to get three things of each thing that I'm going to mention from you that remind you of the park. So give me three foods that you love at the park that you really wish you, like I've seen online, like, so there's the fun thing now right now is you go online and they put a lot of recipes on from the parks, or you can go get a Dole Whip machine. Like I've got an ice cream machine and the Dole Whip mix. We've made it at home. We've done like they do over at Poly, and we've put some rum in there.
Oh, perfect.
Which is amazing. But I've seen like, you know, you can make churros and you can make some of the gray stuff like that. A lot of people, if you go online, you can find a lot of that kind of stuff. But what foods maybe that you can't get at home that you're really jonesing to get back to? Oh. I know, right? Of all of them?
Yeah. And I tend to steer the food thing to Disneyland rather than World for some reason. Maybe it's just because I would die for the Cozy Cone from Cozy Cone Motel.
Yeah.
Or the bacon cheddar Cozy Cone, which there's no way that I can make that. I have no skills in the kitchen for that level of, even if it's mac and cheese and throw bacon in a in a round cylinder. Yeah. I would die for one of those right now. That's high on the list. But so is, believe it or not, because I can get it kind of anywhere, but nothing is better in this world than an actual corn dog from the Little Red Wagon on Main Street. It's on Main Street, therefore it tastes 400 levels better.
Right. No, I think that's what it is. Even if it's the same, you could buy this stuff. Like the for me, like the popcorn. Like I just, you need to have the popcorn and the smell of the popcorn, but it's the same stuff you can throw in your microwave at home. Like it's, you know, or pop it at home, whatever. It's Orville Redenbacher's or whatever it is, but it's just maybe because it's there.
Tastes so good.
Yeah.
You need to go, if you like popcorn, you need to go to Tokyo Disney Sea.
Really?
That's where you find popcorn. They have like 10 or 12 different flavors, and every single popcorn stand is different. So there's one that's, I call it spaghetti because it tastes like spaghetti sauce.
Wow.
It's a basil, a tomato basil.
Right.
Or you can get, they're sweet and savory. So you can also get one that is a wasabi. There's, and they change all the time. So the big deal over there is popcorn buckets. You just like here, they kind of started becoming very popular, but there you get your popcorn bucket and then you run around and you get the different kinds of flavors of popcorn. Yeah. So
they do have an, like I was going to say, one of the ones I do miss, they have in Epcot, they have like right by the, in between the land and Imagination, there's like a popcorn stand. And they have three flavors of popcorn. I think it's like regular. There's like, I don't know what the other one, but I know the one is the buffalo.
Oh, right.
Popcorn. Oh my God. Like that one, I have to stop at least one time a trip to grab. What else do I do? God, there really is so much food there that like you know, here's the other one. And to keep it with the theme, over at, what's the name of that stand? That's right outside the carousel, where you can get the tater tots.
Yeah.
Again, my memory's gone, and I'm sure you're doing the same thing.
But so horrible.
They make they make two that I really found. One, they make the buffalo chicken flavored, or the buffalo with blue cheese, and then they make another one that is like sausage and gravy.
I haven't had those.
That
yet.
Was like they only have it for breakfast and. I thought it was going to be awful, and I just gave it a shot because I wanted to try like one of a kind things, and it is like absolutely blow you out of the water. delicious. And so I have to go and have those tater tots at some point or I'm going to die.
They had a pot roast mac and cheese there at that same location, which they did away with it. I don't know why they decided to do away with it because it was incredibly popular. And that was kind of my go-to for just a real quick meal, which was so freaking good.
See?
But then I can go back and think about, you know, there's nothing better than a good old fashioned Nautilus at Trader Sam's.
I know. What? I actually do miss that place. Like, you know what it is? My kids just turned 21 and we were so excited for this trip because we were going to be able to take them after.
You were
going to
get your kids stalkered. Got it. Yeah.
Look, not for nothing. I love Trader Sam's. I love Disney. We all know when you order a drink, it is not heavily alcoholic. It, you know, it's water PG, that stuff down.
PG yeah. version of an alcoholic drink.
Unless you're going to get shots or you're going to get a beer, the mixed drinks tend to be very light. Like there's not very much heavy handedness on the bartenders.
Okay.
But, okay, go ahead.
Sorry to go back in time. Are you talking about the Friar's Nook?
That's it.
Friar's Google Nook. Was my friend. Cause I couldn't remember what it was.
I know.
That's so
but
terrible.
If you look it up, there's like three or four different flavors of the tater tots. And, that was like amazing. My wife likes, we have to stop and get the cream cheese filled pretzels.
Pretzels.
You can get them at Launching Pad right there, or it's like that's like the thing you have to go get. Mm-hmm. We literally have to stop and seek it out. What other foods do you? Do you have any other? I mean, Disneyland too. I don't care. But is there like a food that you can't get anywhere else?
There's one that I adore and my body likes it way too much because I probably still have a couple of them sitting on my thigh. a churro funnel cake.
Oh my God.
Seriously. It's the most amazing thing and so sweet. Well, you know me, I like sweet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sadly, I'm really drawn to it. You could smell it from half a mile away as you're approaching to go get it. And it is so great. Just don't try to eat one on your own because you're probably going to a diabetic coma. You take you and four of your closest friends or your family members and split one of those things and it's just heavenly.
Yeah, I know. My son, that's the thing. It's like we have to stop to get the pretzel for my wife. My son loves what does he love? The funnel cakes from, of the location because you can get them on the boardwalk and you can also get them at Epcot. And so he loves that. I will give you two things right off the bat. I even though you can get pizza anywhere, I do miss the Via Napoli pizza. For some reason, I never have pizza this way, but I always have pepperoni and anchovies. I know. It sounds like gross and yuck.
That sounds horrific.
I know, but it's wonderful.
Who are you?
I know, but it's wonderful. The other one is a weird one. It's the only reason I hate water parks. I hate the germs. I hate that whole thing. My kids love to go to the water parks, but I'm trying to remember if it's, I think it's Blizzard Beach. They sell these donuts right out in front that are absolute. They make them fresh right there for you that are absolutely amazing. Like if you were to go and spend all the money to go to the park and just eat those donuts, it'd be worth it. In my mind, just amazing stuff. So that's some of the things I miss. Okay, next one up. What are the sounds you miss the most? Like, so if they were I hear the train coming into the station when you walk into the entrance, that just, it's like Pavlov's dog. I just feel relaxed the moment I hear that, right? What about you? What sounds do you just bring you right to your happy place?
Easy one for me, because I do this every time when I go. When I go to Disney World, it's always at World. I fly in and I don't get there till late at night because, of course, I have to fly across country. Mm-hmm. So I check into my hotel and I'm usually staying in the boardwalk area. And the first or second cue of whatever fireworks show is going on at Epcot at 9:02, mm-hmm. I hear that pop of the pyro, and it just makes me feel so comfortable and at home. Yeah. Just, and I could be sitting in my room just unpacking and getting ready for the next day, and you hear that firework popping, and it just, I don't know, it makes me feel comfortable and wrapped in a warm blanket of
warm Disney blanket.
Yeah. I love that.
I think yeah, it's, you know what, there's a soundtrack they use around Epcot that I don't know if they still, because I haven't been there since they've changed over the fireworks. They have a soundtrack that goes around World Showcase before the fireworks goes off. It's like sort of their nighttime. I have it at home. I have it with me. And when I'm feeling tense or stressed, I will put that on and just sort of meld into the Disney happy place. Like I just lose it. So my family knows if they hear that coming out of my studio, that
leave you alone.
I might need some time. So
it's your man cave. Your man.
Yeah, my little studio like haven. So the Disney tracks go on.
The other one I like too, because the train whistle was one of the ones that I thought of right away. But I like to hear the horns on the boats, on the Friendship boats.
Oh yeah.
When you hear that little, as they're coming in and you hear the boat horn, that's always just a little warm blanket too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I mean, it's going to be interesting. A lot of the things I like are going to be changing or have changed. I love going by Splash Mountain and hearing the splash and the screams. To me, that's a vacation.
Screams are comforting.
Well, you know, well, happy screams, right? Because they're not horrific screams. Yeah. It's just like silly, crazy, you know, goofy screams. That really does it for me too. Any others that off the bat you can think of? You don't have to go crazy. If you can't, not a big deal.
I like, well, going along that scream thing, when you just said that, I was remembering when you walk into Hollywood Studios and you can hear the echoes of the screaming coming from Tower of Terror. When the things open up and you can hear people screaming, that makes me smile.
It does.
Because I know they're having a great time, and I know that somebody's scared out of their wits, and I know somebody's grabbing onto somebody really hard, and it's just fun.
And you know, 2 minutes later, they're laughing hysterically when the ride's over and looking to go back on. But what about smells? Are there any smells that like you miss? Like, I mean, we already know the popcorn. Like, you know, you walk in and you smell that popcorn. I'm going to give you a weird one.
Okay.
And it's weird because I've had it elsewhere. I've smelled it elsewhere and it brought me right back to Disney, and that is machine oil. I once went into an ATM and it had the oil smell, and it brought me right back to Space Mountain. Like just the smell of like the oil on a ride, like, you know, just to keep everything moving, like that one did it for me. Which is a weird one, right? Because it, like, you're outside and it reminds you, you know, the scent brings you back to that memory. And that one did it for me.
Mm-hmm.
Any others for you? Like anything?
A couple. I've got a good one and a bad one.
No, there. I mean, look, whatever it may be.
I would say my good one, and everybody's going to say this is such an obvious one, but it's so true. It's the Pirates of the Caribbean. You walk in there and it has a distinct smell of the water, and it smells the same in World as it does in Land. So no matter where you are, you get that same.
It actually smells the same in Small World too, in a sense. I mean,
it's not does.
A little bit. I know it's the chlorine or whatever they put in the water to make it a little bit healthier than like, you know, German-fested, you know, seawater thing. But
so that would be the good one, even though it's not all that great, but it's good. Well, I guess another good one would probably be, when that was up, anyway, I'll go the bad one. Rome burning.
Yeah.
You can smell that as you come around the corner in Spaceship Earth, and you know what that smell is. As a matter of fact, my husband and I were on Adventures by Disney in Scotland, and he's really into scotch. He is over the moon with scotch. Okay. So we did this tasting, and the Adventure by Disney guy, Dusty, like pointed at me and said, here, smell this. And I like walked up to it and I'm like going through the scotch tasting. And I got to this one that was really, really peaty and smelled it. It's like, oh my gosh, that's Rome burning.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's not the best smell, but it does take me back to Epcot and those memories.
I sent you a link today from this company called the Magic Candle Company. And they actually have a scented candle that is Rome burning.
Rome burning.
They have a whole bunch of them. And that's why I was thinking about the smells, because I actually went and bought like four different ones today. But if you go to their website, not that they haven't sponsored me or anything, but they have a bunch of different sprays, and they have different bath oils, and then they have candles that all have different, they're not official. So it's sort of like mouse waffles, you know, or splash, you know, and it sort of, you know, kind of gives away, or, you know, the popcorn stand or gray stuff or the pineapple whip. So I got a few of those. So if you're at home and you're looking for something that, you know, you're looking for that smell.
There's a couple of great companies out there. Those guys do it. And mm-hmm. Also Core Memory Candles, I hear are really good too. And the gal who runs that, Lisa, has things like carrot cake cookie and one called Bright Suns, which I think is brand new. So I've heard a lot of really good things about hers, and I probably should order some, because
we used to have that debate. Didn't we have that debate between the cookies at the writer's shop at that time, right? It was the carrot.
Yes.
What was the
Butterfinger cupcake.
Oh, that's right. That I introduced you to.
Yes. And then I fell in love with, and again, that's probably on my other thigh 5 years later.
Do they still have them? Because I know the writer shop closed down, and then Starring Roles closed down. And those were the two places that you could get the Butterfinger.
Those specific types. I want to say that they were, well, the writer stopped when that went away, because they went over there for a while. Hey, there's a good thing to go and research when we get back, once we do get back.
Because,
by the way, the thing about the carrot cake cookie, and you and I have argued about this for centuries,
it
seems like, but I don't want vegetables in my dessert. It just doesn't.
I don't know. I love carrot cake. I'm there. But yeah, I think I was the Butterfinger, weren't you? No, you and I were both Butterfinger. I think Lou is the one that was for the carrot cake.
No, he definitely was for the carrot cake cookie.
Yeah.
He and I have argued about that for years as well. But it's so amazing that you find one thing that that makes you smile and lifts your day and lifts your spirits, and that's your go-to. Again, as simple as a corn dog on Main Street. I mean,
it makes
all the difference.
We did. So I one trip did an all snack trip. So I sought out all the different snacks that are only available in certain places that aren't like the ones that you could get in 50 different places. Like I said, like the tater tots you had to get, or, you know, whatever the specifics were. And that was a blast, because it turned the trip into something new. It turned Disney World into something new. We had to seek out, like they had the Cronut. Do you remember? Like they had the Cronut over there in Epcot. It was amazing. And like my family was like, where did you find? Like, I don't know where these. And I will give a shout out to AJ over at the Disney Food Blog.
Yep.
Because I bought her digital books, and they were helpful in finding some ones. The last trip, but my wife and I, we went alone. The boys were off at college, and we went down and we did a cheese board trip. I looked up online to find out where the best cheese boards were, and then we would, in the middle of the day, we would just go over to Polly and get a cheese board and have a glass of wine. Or we would go, well, we were in Epcot, we would go over to Italy and go into their wine cellar.
The perfect place there.
Oh yeah. And so we sought out all the, like, and we didn't book any dinners for that trip. We just basically snacked our way around and did cheese boards. I mean, our cholesterol was probably through the roof after that trip. But it was a wonderful way to switch it up a little bit. So it's highly recommended. So
there's so many ways to enjoy it. And you get addicted to the Food and Wine Festival, and then you have to make sure to hit all of the kiosks to get just the right thing that you remembered from last year.
And
it's So amazing. Again, I'm just in love with the place.
Yeah. No, it's all
take my money.
I know. Please let us come back. So, but we're going to, oh my God, I took a lot of your time. I know you're really busy. So, I just want to thank Becky Menken from MEI Mouse Fan Travel. When things get back and going, please use her wonderful service. They've helped me for years, and I would never do a Disney trip without her or her company. Now that we're back on a podcast, feel free to go back to our Facebook page and let us know some of the smells and the foods and the sights and the things you miss most and what brings you right back to the parks. We'd love to hear it, and be sure to keep subscribing. Tell your friends about it. And we'll see you on the next show.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.